Good morning, everyone. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Daniel, and I'm get the privilege of being able to preach this morning. There's a couple of faces that are around. There's Tom Collier over there. He's come over to watch me preach. I just thought I'd lift him up. He's out in university in central London, and he's over for Christmas. And then Dan Ajette as well is up at the back. He's up in Birmingham at the moment, but has come down as well. So make those guys feel welcome as well. But I heard a joke recently. Please laugh even if you don't find it funny. But there was this arrogant Texas farmer who was touring England. And he happened to meet this English farmer, and he asked him, "What size farm do you have?" And the Englishman proudly announced, 35 acres. 35 acres, the arrogant Texan scoffed. "Why, I can get in my truck at 8 a.m. and start driving, and at noon I'm still on my farm. I can eat lunch and start driving again, and at 5 p.m. I'm still on my farm." "Ah, yes," the Englishman nodded in understanding. "I had a truck like that once." But this morning, I'm not going to be talking about arrogance, but I'm going to be talking about humility. And humility is an interesting topic for me. I became a disciple 4 years ago, and it took me quite a long time to study the Bible because of my pride. It took me ages to see my need for God. I'm so grateful to people like Tony Cameron, who sat down with me every week, studied the Bible with me for like a year, and poured their hearts out to me. But my stubbornness was something I had to overcome before becoming a disciple and to truly see my need for God. But recently I've noticed pride kind of sinking back into my life. And this year, some of you might know, had the opportunity to do a one-year challenge where I'm helping out the teen ministry and the Bible discussion at UEL. Go Bible discussion at UEL. And in doing that, I remember my initial reaction. I thought I'd be able to come in and make an impact and be able to inspire people and get everyone fired up for God. And at the time, I thought I was relying on God, but I realized in hindsight that was just pride. And as a result, I think, things didn't go as well as I wanted. In the 4 months of being part of that Bible discussion, we go out evangelizing every week together, but I've never had any visitors come out to the Bible discussion. I couldn't inspire people in the way that I thought I could. And instead of going to God or to others for help, I became very, very self-reliant and thought I could fix things myself. I wasn't reading my Bible with an attitude of wanting to learn or going to people with an attitude of wanting to learn. And there's so many more examples of my pride. I was getting my self-worth from having a group of people who were loyal to me. So many times I'd preach the right thing to do, what people ought to be doing, but not be open about the fact that I was struggling with the same kinds of things. I'd hear leaders giving out praise in meetings and want my name to be called out. I'd half listen to the people that I thought weren't quite important enough, or spend less time with people just because in my book they didn't quite measure up. And my conviction about advice became, it's just advice, I don't have to listen to it. And I'd wait for my discipler to get in touch with me instead of being eager to learn from him. I'd be given things to do and not go to God in prayer asking him to help me with them, and hardly ever ask people to pray for me. And these are all such obvious expressions of pride. And it definitely spilled over to my relationships with the people around me. I mean, I stopped seeing my need for people, and I stopped caring about the needs of people, particularly in my relationship with my dad. In my pride, I expected him to be the humble one all the time, in every situation, to be perfect, even when I'd aggravate him and things like that. And I get very short with him, which is so dumb, considering how much he gives to me. So many times I'd know I was wrong, but just resist admitting it. And it got to Christmas time at the end of last year, and finally my eyes were open to the mess that I'd got myself in, and I realized that enough was enough. I needed to do something about it. There wasn't a sense of peace in me. And so I needed to make changes, and I decided that I'd go after pursuing humility. And I was thinking about my goals for the year. It was January, and so I decided to dedicate the month of January to really going after humility. And I sat down with the family. We had a time of sharing our goals and sharing how our year had been. And I was telling my family about how the end of my year had been, things I was struggling with. And as families do, they gave me some encouragement, but they also gave me some input, because your family are some of the people that know you best. But then after that conversation, I realized it might take me a little bit more than a month to work on this topic. So I've decided to make it my year goal for this year. But yeah, I'm incredibly grateful for my dad and for Jack for really helping me to put this sermon together. I've found it quite difficult, so I'm very grateful to them. But the best person to look at when we're talking about humility is Jesus. So we're going to be looking at his words and his example this morning. Is that already? Oh yeah. Okay, this is the first scripture. In Matthew 11, verses 28, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now in this passage, Jesus tells us to learn from him, and we will find rest for our souls. And the specific thing that he asks us to imitate is, one, his gentleness, and two, his humility. And when I think about it, the humility of Christ is unbelievable. I mean, like, imagine you're God for a minute. You know everything, you can do anything, you're all-powerful, you're all-knowing. You have legions of angels worshipping you 24/7. Nothing is impossible for you. That's the position that God is in all the time. And imagine upping sticks, leaving all that behind, and coming to earth as a baby, from the perfection of heaven to go straight into the Middle East. I mean, imagine knowing the heritage that you have, knowing the power that you have, knowing where you've come from and your position compared to every single person around you, and then choosing to live a life of servitude for every second of every minute of every day. Imagine all the temptations to be self-indulgent, to exercise your right to be worshipped, but shutting all of that out for 30 straight years, not one single ounce of pride. This is the type of humility that we are called to. And if you struggle to connect with that, think about this. Imagine the man of the moment, Donald Trump, soon to become the most powerful man in the world, whether you like it or not. Imagine he decided to postpone becoming president and spend a year in the slums of Mexico, serving the people, doing their washing, doing their cleaning, making the food, taking the kids to school, and not once using any of his power, any of his privilege, not even his Twitter account. That would be absolutely absurd, completely remarkable. Yet Jesus' humility, even compared to that, was off the scale. I mean, imagine after living a life of servitude, being scorned by the people you loved, and betrayed into the hands of liars. Imagine being on trial knowing you've done nothing wrong. I mean, I can get defensive when people accuse me of the things I have done. Yet Jesus, knowing exactly the punishment that he would face for a guilty verdict, stayed completely silent. Imagine being beaten by the people that you created, by the very people that you came to save, and then freely letting them do it. In Philippians chapter 2, we read, "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." Now that scripture speaks volume, and this is the humility that I'm called to imitate, and this is the humility that we're all called to imitate. Where do you see pride in your life this morning? I mean, none of us are perfectly like this. And if you're here today and thinking about it, you can't see any examples of pride in your life, then I'm sorry, but the problem is more likely worse than you think. If you're sat here thinking about other people, thinking about this sermon would be really good for your child or your spouse or your friends or anything like that, then this sermon is, the problem is probably worse than you think. We need to be striving for humility because our God is humble and he calls us to be humble too. And I remember when I was younger, being in the service in the East, I remember when Mike, who usually preaches, was sharing about his reaction to the people cutting up him up on the road, and thinking in my humility, Mike just must be quite impatient. But then I started driving myself, and now I completely understand. When you're driving somewhere and there's someone on the road that genuinely believes that them getting to their destination is more important than anything else, and that their driving skills are more superior to everyone else's, it's really hard not to get offended. Is that just me and Michael? No, it's not. I see Wale shaking his head. But people who have an overblown view of themselves are not nice to be around. But Jesus' humility, on the contrary, drew people to him. And humility is so endearing, and it breeds more humility. And when I think of people that I know that are humble, I think of my sister, Naomi. Many of you will know her. And I can say that because she's not here and she won't get big-headed about it. But when I'm around her, I just want to spend time with her. I want to be giving to her. I want to make her life enjoyable because she puts me above herself. She has such a Christ-like humility. And when you're talking to her, you feel like it's almost as if you're the center of her world and she wants to listen to you and help you and encourage you, and she forgoes her own needs. But I think for most of us, I actually don't think we have a problem acknowledging our pride. I think we have a problem seeing the extent of our pride, and I think we have a problem taking it seriously because we can be so complacent. I mean, God cares about the pride. There's this scripture that says he will actively oppose us if we are proud, which should be enough on its own for us to start taking it seriously. We have to be serious about dealing with it. And reading through the Bible, reading through the Old Testament and the New Testament, you get the idea that God doesn't matter so much what our sacrifices are or the offerings we make to him or even the great things we've done for him. What God is after is a humble and obedient spirit, as shown through the life of Jesus. So how can we be like Jesus in our humility? There's lots of different areas, but I've picked three. And the first one is our attitude of service. Now, Jesus served people wholeheartedly his whole life. In every situation, he was thinking about how he could help people. And that's the difference between serving out of duty and serving out of humility. Jesus, God in the flesh himself, served as if he was unworthy, as if he didn't deserve to. He valued the people around him above himself. And this is just one of the many areas that I need to work on. I mean, even 2 days ago at midweek there was lots of different items that had to be got through in the service. And my dad asked me to man the projector because he knew I knew what was going on. But when he asked me that, I groaned. I was so miserable about it. Because I thought that what I had to do was more important. I wanted to go and speak to the people in my ministry and encourage them. I thought that job was more important, that doing the role of clicking the buttons on the projector was beneath me. And then he said to me, you need to do it with a joyful attitude. And my heart sank. Because I knew I was, it was in January, so I knew I was supposed to be working on my pride. And sometimes we don't moan and we don't complain out loud, but deep down we think that we're better than the task at hand, or we've already done enough. Maybe I don't have this one. But it says, suppose one of you has a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. This is from verse 7. Will he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, come along now and sit down to eat? Won't he rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and wait on me while I eat and drink? After that, you may eat and drink. Will he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. I think, as a congregation, we all understand that we're called to serve. It's quite clear from the Bible. But what kind of servant are we? Are we a part-time servant? A servant when we feel like it? A servant when we're comfortable with it? A servant when it fits with our plans? A reluctant servant? A servant who only serves when the task seems worthy. How do we do when we're asked to serve in ushering or in Kingdom Kids or in a Bible study? Or when we come back home from a day at school or a day at work or when we've had a tough day? Jesus was the Son of God, God in the flesh, and he had an attitude of total humility for his whole life as shown through his servant's heart. Secondly, I'd like to talk about openness. And one of the problems with, or the main problem with pride is that we have an elevated view of ourselves. And so we get easily bothered by how other people view us. And our world currently is so focused on self-image. If you take one look at the type of things people post on Facebook, Instagram, other social media, you'll see that people want to present themselves as being as close to perfect as they can. It's like a human urge. But that's not how God intended it to be. In John chapter 3, verse 20, the Bible says, "Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God." Our natural response when we sin is to fear. To hide from people knowing, we don't want our deeds to be exposed because we want to portray this image. But the Bible calls us to come into the light so that nothing is hidden. Now, humility is the idea of having the correct view of ourselves before God, and that's what we should want people to see. Now, for me, the issue isn't being open. For me, it's being open about everything. Being open about the sins that really disgust me, about my deceit and other sins that won't endear me to people. But the Bible says there is no grey area. As far as God is concerned, there is darkness and there is light. Do other people have to initiate openness with us? Or do we humbly show our weaknesses? If you're sitting here today with things hanging over your head, I challenge you to be humble and open about it before the day ends. And finally, I'd like to talk about our humility before God. Probably the most important one. One thing that really stands out to me about Jesus is his dependence on God. In Luke chapter 6, verse 12, is the one on the screen, the Bible says, "One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God." Jesus was devoted to prayer. He was dependent on God for all things. He pleaded with God in times of trouble. He praised God all of the time, no matter what was going on. And if Jesus, who is God in the flesh, was humbly and dependent on God, how much more should we be? A dependence on God comes from a clear picture of who we are and who God is. It's an acceptance of the fact that God is all-powerful, he's almighty, he knows everything. He created me, he created you and everything around us. All things are from him and by him and through him and not through me. That my talents and gifts are from him and my blessings are from him. And if the nature of God is like that, then why am I not eager to go back to him for help? Do you go to him in every decision? Seek his will, not your own. Do you constantly strive to learn more from him? Have a look at this video. Is there any sound? Well, I'll go back a second.
I'm not screaming at you. Okay. Bye, Brianna.
Don't tell me the bar. I'm standing her.
I love you, Brianna.
Oh, no, you don't love me. You don't love nobody. Love your own self. Come on, love you. And sorry. You don't tell nobody you're sorry.
That is a disrespectful child, ladies and gentlemen. But as silly as that seems, that's exactly how we can be towards God, our Creator and our Savior. She had an overblown view of herself and viewed herself as equal to her dad. Do we treat God as king or just somebody? Do we think we know what's best for our lives, or do we accept the fact that God is in charge and that his ways are above our ways? Are you proud towards God? When we are humble before God, we accept the fact that God is in charge. And not only do we pray with the right attitude, but we're eager to study our Bible, to learn, to learn from the people around us, we seek rather than relying on others to seek us. We are obedient to God no matter what the situation. And when I think of humility this way, I think of Harry Mangan, who's in the East. Now, I don't know Harry that well, but one thing that stands out to me is that every single time we speak at church, every time without fail, he asks me the question, what can I be praying for you? Every single time. Now, that's the attitude of a man who believes in the power of God and is humble to the fact that God is in charge. Do we have that same attitude? We are called to follow the example of Jesus, the most humble man that ever lived. I mean, imagine the atmosphere of this church and the miracles that God will be able to do through us when we all strive wholeheartedly for humility. But we need to see our pride for what it is, attack it head on, and treat it with the same attitude that God does. Look for situations to be humble. Jack described humility, it's like a muscle that has to be continually exercised, like a heart that has to keep pumping for us to survive. And the Bible says, or Jesus says it in Matthew 23. That's the wrong scripture, but it says in Matthew 23, "For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." Matthew 23, verse 12. When we strive for humility, when we are aware of who we are before God, we will find rest for our souls. If we continue in our proud ways, God will actively oppose us and we will be humbled. And as I close, I'd like to play you a song that shows what true humility looks like. And if you're going to take away anything from this sermon, remember the lyrics. It's from a film, Joseph, King of Dreams, set when Joseph's been in prison for a crime he didn't even commit. Everyone's forgotten about him and he's left questioning why God has brought him so low when he thought he was something special.
I thought I did what's right. I thought I had the answers. I thought I chose the surest road, but that road brought me here. So I put up a fight and told you how to help me. Now just when I have given up, the truth is coming clear. You made it easy to see the best thing I can do is put my trust in you, for you know.